you for it. Amen. All right, you're there in Psalms chapter 78, right? The 78th Psalm. Good. I've been preaching a series now. I think this is the 15th of great questions from the Bible. And a lot of questions in the Word of God. And I want to look at another one today. This is one that I knew was there, and I'd preach on it eventually. So verse 17 of Psalm 78. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out, and that the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. We're going to leave off reading there. This chapter of 78, this 78th Psalm, if you will, really gives us an abbreviated history of the nation of Israel. And boy, unfortunately, it is a story of unfortunate choices, unfaithfulness, and really unbelief. Boy, I just think about it in reading the Bible and think how different their life could have been, how different the history of those people could have been had they have just listened to the Word of God, had they just obeyed God and done what God said. Right. But at the same time, I look at folks today and I think, my, how different our lives could be. Yes. If we just latch on to the Word of God and do what the Bible says, you know? Such a hard thing to do. And my son and I, we were traveling a little bit yesterday, and we were driving along. Well, he was driving, and I was sleeping, and I'd wake up some and then sleep some. And then we'd talk a little bit when I was awake. I might have talked to him while I was asleep. I'm not sure, but we'd talk just a little bit, and we were talking about, you know, some people, they seem to find it so hard to do what God says. Man, honestly, I don't find it that way. I just don't find it that difficult. Now, do I struggle with some sin? Oh, yes, because I'm a human being. But, you know, by and large, just doing what God says, I don't find it that difficult. But I see so many people, and I watch their lives, and I think, man, you just make your life so hard because you won't do what God says. And so a lot of people do it, and if we just decide to obey the Word of God, but instead what we see is there's this tendency to question. There's this tendency to argue with God and about what God has said. There's a tendency to kind of disregard what God said. And as this psalm records, the Israelites doubted. They doubted either God's willingness to take care of them or God's ability to take care of them. He had led them through out of Egypt. You know, he had taken them out of Egypt as a nation, delivered them through the Red Sea, protected them. They walked over on dry land. Right. And he had taken them now through, and they were in the wilderness. He had provided for them. And it was like they were saying that we know he's done some things, but can he do this? Can he do this? You know, I think about Christians today, and we think, well, Christians oftentimes say, well, I know he saved me, but can he take care of me? Can he take care of me? We preachers, because we believe the Bible, we preach tithing, and it makes some people mad. We preach about you ought to give, and some people say, well, I can't. I just can't afford to. And really what it is, we doubt God can take care of us. We doubt he can. So we have that question, can God? And then, can God provide a table in the wilderness? All right. Can he furnish a table in the wilderness? Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? You know, I think we look at that. Can God? Can God? And I just want to look at a few questions about that this morning. And I want to assure you from the Word of God, He can. He can, all right? We worry about some things. We worry, first of all, can God provide? Can He provide for me? Well, would you just take a look at the record with me a little bit? Would you just consider some Bible examples? Would you think a little bit about Abraham? Abraham, that great man of faith. The Bible talks about him being the father of the faithful. Remember when God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your son, Isaac. And he's that promised son, but I want you to take him up to where I show you. And I want you to offer him as a sacrifice for me and to me. And the Bible tells us how Abraham got up early the next morning. He saddled his ass. He took the wood. He took the fire. He took Isaac and his servant. And he said, all right. And they journeyed to where God directed them. And they got there to Mount Moriah. And Abraham told his servant, you wait down here. I and the lad will go up and worship. And we'll be back. Right. He said, we're going to come back down. So they took the wood up. And you know the story, if you're familiar with the Word of God, how Abraham prepared the altar, how he laid Isaac out on that altar, and he raised that knife to plunge it into his son and offer Isaac as a sacrifice to God. But we know God provided. God told Abraham, wait a minute, stop. Look over there in the thicket. I provided a ram. Amen. I provided a ram. I'll take care of you. God provided for Abraham. He provided for Abraham. I think about the nation of Israel. They were there in the wilderness. They had journeyed and they had been brought through all the trials, and they got to a point there was no water. And I don't know about you, but I know what it is to be thirsty. All right. Now, I think at times I've thought I was going to die of thirst. I've never been close to that, but I thought I was as a kid, you know. And I can remember sitting in class in the ninth grade studying the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. What a waste of time. But anyway, we were there in English class studying the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. And it had some lines in there. And now, I was in the ninth grade. It was in the springtime of the year, which in Texas means it was already hot, all right? And we were in those little shacks, we called them. Little portable buildings they had brought in. We needed more room. And I was outside in one of them. It was in the afternoon, after lunch. And, you know, we didn't have that luxury known as air conditioning. I went to school right after the invention of the light bulb. And we didn't have air conditioning, all right? And so we're sitting in that little shack, no air conditioning. And we're reading the lines of that poem, water, water everywhere. And not a drop to drink. And I'm going, I'm getting thirsty now. But anyway, man, we read that and I thought, hey, here we are. I thought I'd been thirsty. Hey, the nation of Israel, they got thirsty. And they murmured. The Bible said they murmured against Moses. They murmured against God. And God said, Moses, take your rod, go over that rock and smite that rock. And I'll give those folks water. You know what? God provided for them. God provided. God showed them, I can. I can do that. Hey, there's the example we have. Can God provide? Well, He's done it in the past. He's done it in the past. Wait a minute. Consider His promise to us. Does your Bible say what mine does in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19? My Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's God's promise. He said, I will provide. God shall supply all your needs. Hey, He's provided in the past. What in the world would give you the idea He couldn't take care of you now? Couldn't take care of you now. Boy, there's a rich story in our family history. My dad pastored, most of you know, my dad pastored for years and years and years, and he went to Vidalia, Georgia to start a church in his hometown. And while he was there, getting that church going, they started with a two-week tent revival. Multitudes of people were saved. Man, they baptized the host and the church was going. They were building a building. And my dad went out with the tractor and they went down in the creek bottoms. They were pulling out logs to use. They were going to take them and use those logs, use that wood to build the building. And in the doing of that, the tractor turned over on him, pinned him on the ground, broke his leg. And so he's now a young preacher, and he was working a job. Well, he can't work that job anymore. And so they didn't have food. It got pretty sparse. And this is all before I was born, okay? And man, I've heard him tell about how it took place. And it wasn't anything there, but man, God sent by a fellow by the name of Brother Peyton. And Brother Peyton came by and knocked on the door. Dad hadn't said anything, but Brother Peyton came by and said, "Preacher, God spoke to me, and he said you needed some groceries, and here they are. Here they are." God provided. God provided. You talk to Ms. Noble sometimes, she can tell you as they were years on the trail, her and her husband, he was an evangelist, and she can tell you how God provided for them. God provided. Hey, God can provide. You think, can God provide? Yes, he can. He has in the past, and he promised he will. Can God provide? Oh, yeah, he can. But then the next question is, yeah, but if I'm going to live for him, can God protect me? Can God protect me? Well, again, could we just examine the record? Could we just examine the record a little bit? You know, I think about the great story in the Word of God when the nation of Israel split in the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was pretty quickly taken into captivity by the Assyrian kingdom, and they were taken into captivity, and only the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, remained, and Hezekiah was the king. And once again, the Assyrian army led by Sennacherib came down to the southern kingdom. They surrounded the city of Jerusalem. The Bible tells us about it and how they began to threaten the people and began to say, "Listen, your other gods, other areas, and they've trusted their God, and their God didn't take care of them. What makes you think your God be any different?" But Hezekiah prayed. Hezekiah prayed. And man, it was amazing how easily God could protect that southern kingdom. He just sent word to Sennacherib, you better get back to your home base. And they all took off. They all left. Why? Because God can protect. I think about one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I loved it when I was a kid. Man, I loved it when they'd tell us in Sunday school class about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they were brought up by Nebuchadnezzar and brought before that great image that was set up. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "Now, when you hear the music, everybody's going to worship that image. Because, man, I set it up, and you're going to do it, that golden image." And so they played the music, and everybody bowed except three fellows. Three fellows stood out like three sore thumbs, I guess, you know. And, I can imagine in my mind they're looking around going, "Man, this is a fun time. We got a better view now. You know, everybody's down." And so, word went back to Nebuchadnezzar. It infuriated him. He brought them in. And, we read that account in the book of Daniel. And those three Hebrew boys said, "Hey, we're not careful to answer you. We're not careful to answer you because our God is able." He's able. Hallelujah. He's able. And they said, you do what you want to. Well, man, it made him mad. And he said, "You heat the furnace up hotter. Throw them fellows in," you know. A great old song Brother Roloff used to sing. Those part of the lines of it. And it said, "Tie them up, throw them in. Those Hebrew boys are going to fry." All right. And man, I wish I could remember all the words, you know, I'd sing it. But what a great picture there. And they threw them in. Of course, yeah, the heat was so bad, it killed the fellows, threw them in. But not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're up walking around in the fire because there was another man with them. Another man with them. The form of that fourth man was like the Son of God. Man, what a blessing. It was so good in the furnace that they had to plead with them to come out. Had to plead with them to come out. They were having a good time there, man. You know, what a blessing it was. What did God say? He said, "I can protect you. I can protect you." We go on a little bit further in the book of Daniel, and we see Daniel himself up an old man by this time, and they passed law, said you couldn't pray. And Daniel said, "Forget that, all right? I'm going to do what I've been doing all my life, what God commands. I've been praying three times a day. I'm going to keep praying three times a day. And I'm not going to pray to Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to pray to my God. And he did. So they took him and pitched him over in the den of lions. But you know what? God didn't have any problem protecting Daniel. Man, somebody said he gave the lions lockjaw. I don't know. I believe it was a comfortable night among the lions, okay? Good night. Hey, listen. God's proven he can protect.
Amen.
You bring it up to present time, I'm going to tell you this, and I believe this with all my heart. I believe you and I don't have any idea of how many times God's protecting hand has been on top of us. And God has protected you and I when we didn't even know we were in danger. But he took care of us. He took care of us. He's protected us. But wait a minute. We got a promise. We got a promise that he will. You have your Bible. Take it to Isaiah chapter 54, would you? Isaiah chapter 54. Turn with me there. Isaiah 54, verse 17. Isaiah 54, verse 17. What a promise we have in the Word of God. The Bible says, No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Hey, that verse says if you're a servant of the Lord, the heritage is no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. What a blessing.
Amen.
What's God's promise? Can God? Can he provide? Oh, yeah, he can. Can he protect? Well, he said he would. He said he would. He's done it in the past. He tells us in Hebrews 13, verse 5, for he has said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. What a promise. What a promise. Hey, folks, either you believe the Bible or you don't. But if you believe it, God says it, man, I guarantee, hey, it's so if you don't believe it. It's still true. But it's just you missing out on it. Can God? Yes, he can. He can. He can provide for you. He's provided for you. He can protect you. He can protect you. Oh, but there's other things people are worried about in this old world today. We worry about getting ahead, right? We worry about advancing. We think, man, I'm going to take this job. Now, most young people, they'll take a job if it's vice president, but anything else is too low, all right? But the truth of the matter is, if you got to thinking, whether you think, well, I'll take this job and I'll work my way up. And we get the idea, well, the only way to do it is self-promotion. He who tooteth not his own horn, the same shall not be tooted, right? And we think that's the way. Say, can God promote me? Well, let's consider his record. Let's consider his record. Let me take you back there in the Old Testament. A fellow by the name of Joseph. If you're familiar with what happened to Joseph, Joseph's brothers hated him. His dad favored him. That's not a good thing to do. His dad's favored him. His brothers hated him, partly because of that. And so they sold him. They sold him into slavery. He was taken down into Egypt, and he was bought by a fellow by the name of Potiphar. But let me tell you something. There was something about Joseph that was different. There was something about Joseph. And remember that verse there we read in Isaiah 54, 17, the heritage of the servants of the Lord? Well, that's what Joseph was. That's what Joseph was. And so here he is a slave down in Potiphar's house. But God promoted him. And you say, well, what did Joseph have to do? Just be faithful. Just be faithful. And as long as he was faithful, God would take care of him. God promoted him. Man, he got to be the top man in the house of Potiphar. Nothing went on there that Joseph didn't take care of and oversee. He knew everything that was going on. And then, of course, man, the devil gets in it. And Potiphar's wife, she makes a play for Joseph. Joseph has to run for his reputation and his life's testimony. And he took off. And she lied about him. And next thing he knows, he's in prison. But you know what? God promotes you in prison too. You check it out, old Joseph rose in the prison. Truth of the matter is, he's running the show in prison, all right? Now you say, well, that's not the show I want to run. Me either, all right? But if you got to be there, it's better to be running it, all right? So Joseph was faithful. God promoted him. God promoted him. And the day finally came. God promoted him all the way to the number two position in the whole land of Egypt. He was the only person he was under was Pharaoh himself. You say, why? Because God promoted him. Can God? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Now, would you just consider his promise to you? Would you consider his promise to you? Won't you take your Bible? Won't you see this? 1 Peter chapter 5, way over in the New Testament, very close to the end of the scripture. 1 Peter, little epistle of 1 Peter. It's easy to find it. If you get to 2 Peter, you've gone too far, all right? So back up just a little bit. 1 Peter, all right? 1 Peter, look there, if you will, chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. One verse, just one verse, all we got to look at here. But what a verse. What a verse. Here's the instruction. Here's the instruction to the servant of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Listen, He can promote you. He can promote you. You may think, well, I'm ready to rule the world. But God knows if you are or not. God knows if you are or not. Why don't you wait on Him to give you the promotion? You wait on Him just a little bit. Don't get in such a hurry. Brother Dunbar's associate pastor, I don't think Brother Dunbar's doing this. If he is, God will take care of him, all right? But there's many times associate pastors have split churches.
Amen.
Split churches. All right, they get in and they get the idea, I know more than the preacher does. I know more than the senior pastor does. And I'm going to work my way in. I'm going to worm my way in. Do like old Absalom did, win the hearts of the people. Now, wait a minute. I'm not preaching this because I think he's doing this, all right? I just want to illustrate the truth of what I'm trying to preach to you, all right? Don't believe he is. But what goes on is some try to do that.
Yes, sir.
Hey, that happened to my uncle. Happened to my uncle up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they wormed their way in. They win the hearts of the people. And then they convince them, hey, why don't you let me be the pastor? Let's kick him out. Churches get split. And oftentimes what happens is the guy that thought he knew it, he found out he wasn't ready. He didn't know what he was doing. And he made a mess and he's hurt a ton of people. Hurt a lot of lives. Listen, what are you saying, preacher? Here's what I'm saying to you. Why don't you learn to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and let Him exalt you?
Amen.
He'll know when it's time. If you need a promotion, He'll see to it you get promoted. You just be faithful. You just be faithful. You say, preacher, does that mean I can't apply for a higher position? No. You go ahead and apply for the higher position. But if God says no, be patient.
Amen.
Be patient. He's got something better for you, but it's down the line. You just be patient. You be faithful. You be faithful. Can God? Yep, He sure can. He sure can. He can provide. He can protect. And He can promote you. But let me tell you, there's one other question I think more people today ought to ask. And this is a question not being asked, needs to be asked. And that question is, can God pardon me? Can God pardon me? Can He forgive? That's the question people ought to be interested in. One more time, let's look at the record.
Amen.
One more time, let's look at the record, would you? Would you go with me under to Mount Calvary?
Amen.
That day, the darkest day in history, where they took the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who had come from heaven and took upon Himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. And that day, that one who knew no sin took the sin of the world upon Himself. He bore our sin in His own body. They took the Lord Jesus Christ. They beat Him. They put a crown of thorns on His head. And they had him carry that cross and compelled another guy to carry it too, up to Mount Calvary. And I believe with all my heart, when it came time to be nailed to the cross, I believe our Savior did something those Roman soldiers had never seen.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I believe he laid down on that cross and he spread those hands out.
Amen.
And he allowed them without a fight to drive those spikes through his hands and through his feet. And they elevated him between heaven and earth. And he hung there with all the sins of you and me and all the world upon him. Upon him. But there was two other fellows there. The Bible said on either side of him there was a thief. One of them was just like every other thief. Just like every other godless individual. Only concerned about himself, and he mocked and cursed and said, if you're really God, won't you help us? Won't you help us? But that thief on that other side said, boy, you're a dummy. Shut up. Don't you know this is the Son of God? And he asked for mercy. Remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. Boy, I remember what the Lord said today. Oh, not tomorrow. Not sometime way yonder, but today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Why? Because he could pardon sin. Because he could pardon sin. Let me remind you of that day a while earlier. They had drugged this woman before Jesus. And they said, now we've taken her in the very act of adultery. Said, now Moses said we ought to stone her. What do you say? And the Lord said, well, you know, let him that is without sin among you cast the first stone. And he bent down and he began to write in the dirt. And the Bible says each one of them, being convicted in his own heart, left. Now the Lord knew what was going to happen, all right? He didn't look up and say, where is everybody? He knew what was going to happen. But do you find it interesting that that wicked woman stayed there, that sinful woman? Do you find it interesting she didn't say, everybody else is going, I'm taking the chance, I'm out of here? She stayed. And the Lord looked at her and said, where are those thine accusers? And she said, well, no man. And then you hear the greatest words, boy, you could ever hear as a sinner. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Hey, listen, you mark it down. He wasn't excusing her sin. He was forgiving her sin. Big difference. Big difference. Why? Because he could pardon. He could pardon. I'm reminded of the time in the scripture where they were bringing the palsied man to the Lord. Had to go up on the roof, tear the roof open, let him down. And he was speaking to him, and he knew the crowd he was dealing with that was listening. And he said, thy sins be forgiven. And they go, well, he said, just to prove I can do that, he said, rise up and walk. Why? He said, I can pardon sin. I can pardon sin. I'm going to tell you what. He's proven it in times past, but he's promised. Still have your Bible there. Go back to Isaiah, not to chapter 54 this time, but chapter 55, would you? Isaiah chapter 55. Notice what the Bible says here. Promise of God. Here's the promise of God. Can he pardon? Well, here's what he says. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. Isaiah 55, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's shouting ground right there. Woo! He will abundantly pardon. abundantly pardoned. Hey, hold your place right there, but go over to the next book, Jeremiah chapter 33, would you? The very next book in the Bible, Jeremiah chapter 33. Oftentimes when I deal with people and they're having problems, I'll take them to Jeremiah 33 and we'll go to verse 3. Verse 3 is a great verse. Says, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But I don't want you to look at verse 3 here. I want you to go to verse 8. Verse 8 says, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. Just would you notice there, I will pardon all their iniquities. Over in Isaiah 55, he said, He will abundantly pardon. Oh, what a blessing. Those Israelites stood there in the wilderness, as recorded in the 78th Psalm, and said, okay, God has done some things, but can God do this? Could I remind you, we serve the God where the Bible says, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. Can God? Yeah, we've seen over and over in the scriptures that he can. Over and over. I'll tell you what, he's done it in the past for multitudes. I stand here this morning and can testify he's done it for this fellow right here. He's done it for me. He's done it for me. Hey, he pardoned me when I was a little 9-year-old boy. He pardoned me. And I'm so glad he did. I stand today with a pardon from the sentence of death. Sentence of death. I've been pardoned. Been pardoned. But, and since then, boy, I can't tell you how many times he's provided for me. He's provided. He's taken care of me. Taken care of me. He's protected me. Protected me. He's had his hand on me. I think about some of the things that's happened to me in my lifetime. And I think of other people died when the same thing happened. Same kind of thing happened. God protected me. I think about a time I was a kid riding a bicycle. Riding a bicycle. And, you know, they tell you today kids ought to ride a bicycle. You ought to wear a helmet, right? Well, now, all of y'all wore the bicycle with a helmet, didn't you? Yeah, I said, shoot, no, we never wore a helmet, you know. And I was riding a bicycle one day, and me and a friend of mine, we were riding together, and we were riding, as kids would do, right down the middle of the street, all right? And so we're trucking down the street, and way up yonder, a car turned, heads our way, and so we cut over. And when we cut over, he was a little bit ahead of me. My front tire, the very front of my front tire, nicked the back of his back tire. And my front tire spun around. Now, when that happens, if you've never done it, when that happened, you become an astronaut. You are launched into space. Now you have to remember, we were riding on a blacktop street. I was launched into space. And I landed head first. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people died from that kind of thing. I'm going to tell you, the hand of God protected this old boy. I got scarred up pretty good. But God's good to me. God protected me. I can't begin to tell you how many times God hadn't protected me. There's times, I'm sure, when I had no idea. Amen. But his hand was there. He protected me. And I'll tell you, he's promoted me. He's promoted me. I'm standing here this morning in spite of the fellow that I am. And I'm standing here this morning. I remember those times when I was a kid in school. Praying, my prayer life was best when we were doing some kind of oral report. That's when my prayer life was best, because I hated to get up in front of people and speak. And here I am, a preacher, little old introverted boy. That was me. Insecure. That was me. But God promoted me. God promoted me. And I'll tell you this. This is where I want to go. The next promotion, I just want to go home. Amen. That's what I want, the next promotion. All right? Now, I don't mean 5801 McDougal. All right? I mean, Hallelujah Square and Glory Avenue, all right? But he's promoted me. Let me tell you this, but it all started yonder because he pardoned me. He pardoned me. Can God? Yes, he can.
Amen.
Hey, there's a fellow by the name of Stuart Hamlin wrote a song that said, "It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you." I'm glad I serve a God's not a respecter of persons.
Amen.
I can get up here and preach to you and say everything he's done for Daniel, he'll do for you. Everything he did for Joseph, he can do for you. Everything he's done for me, he'll do for you. It's just a matter of you and I deciding to trust him and let him do it. Just trust him. Now, we can be like the Israelites. Gripe, 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 gripe. Murmur, bellyache, complain. They were good at it. They were good at it. But it didn't help their cause any. You know, it'd been just as simple to do like old Daniel did and say, "Lord, they told me not to pray, but I know you said I am supposed to pray, so I'm just praying, Lord. You take care of it."
Amen.
You take care of it. Daniel didn't murmur and gripe. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't go, "Well, man alive, here we are, and God's putting us on the hot seat." No. It was, "Our God's able. Our God is able." I think about old Joseph. Most of us, if we were in the situation Joseph was in, I can just imagine. "Well, fully on this business. Man, here I'm trying to live right, try to do what's right, and that old gal lies about me, and I'm in prison. What kind of God is that?" This God's taking care of you and molding you and making you, taking you through some things in life because he wants to mold you and to make you. Can God? He can. He can. The question is, will you let him? Will you let him? He can provide. He can protect. He can pardon you. He can promote you if you'll let him. But you got to let him. What do you need this morning? What do you need? You need pardon? He can pardon you. And he will. If you'll come to him. If you'll come to him, he can pardon you. You need some provision? His coffers are not empty. He can take care of you. You need some protection? He can provide that. He can provide that. Well, yeah. You need promotion? He can do that. He can do that. Will you let him do it? Will you let him? Heavenly Father, now I pray this morning, you'll just deal with every heart today. Lord, here we are. We're weak people. So many times we're unfaithful. But oh God, I pray we'd not be like the Israelites and make such unfortunate decisions to be people of unbelief, to be unfaithful to you. But God, would you just help us to draw nigh to you today? Lord, would you help us to humble ourselves? If we need promotion, let's humble ourselves before you. Lord, we need you today. We don't need to question you. We need to have faith in you. Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that. Deal with our hearts this morning. Deal with everyone that's here. Help us to see our need. And Lord, take the action we need to take. First, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, this morning? As we stand together, we get ready for the invitation time. Listen, the altar's open. You can come this morning if you need to do business with him. These steps, one of these front pews, God's dealing with you. We get a little bit doubtful at times. Well, don't let that happen to you. God can take care of you. He can provide. He can. He's not hindered in any way. His arm's not shortened. His ear's not dull of hearing. But what he wants is some faithful servants. If you'll let him, he can provide for you. As we sing the invitation hymn this morning, "Just As I Am," if you need to come, would you come this morning while we sing? Come on. Come on.
Just as I am.